I'm Dustin Harder, and this is Keep On Cooking. Hello and welcome to Keep On Cooking, the only podcast dedicated to plant-based cookbooks. I'm your host, Dustin Harder, and he's the missing village person, my husband and producer of the podcast, David Rossetti. How you doing, Rosie? YMCA. What's another village people song? YMCA.
Macho Man.
Macho Man. And then they have, there's a movie, if anyone cares. What is it called? Can't Stop the Beat or Can't Stop the Music? Starring
Can't Stop the Music,
your 80s boyfriend, maybe. Steve Gutenberg. Before 80s, went, specifically
before
80s.
Crazy. Before he went crazy.
Specifically, we don't. Starring Steve Gutenberg, where I think Steve. He's like once is the manager of the village people and
yeah,
I can't remember, but I think it's called Can't Stop the Beat or Can't Stop the Music.
But anyway,
if you were to make up a village person,
I would be like the preppy like tennis person with like a sweater over my tied short shorts. I feel like that would be very.
Listen,
80s. Who would you be?
Just because these guys really rev my engine, I'd be a fireman.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
They don't have a fireman. They have a police
officer. They have a police officer. That's why we got to add a fireman to the bunch. Firemen, really, that's why firemen have a calendar. They really get it going for people. And they save lives.
And they save
Look
lives.
At them.
And cats and trees.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway.
Listen, we're recording this much earlier than we're releasing it. Today's January 9th, and Tabitha Brown's line of vegan food just came out. Vegan everything just came out at Target.
Yeah. And we got there bright and early. And
we sure did because it was selling out. And it's. I want to say about this stuff, we're sort of a Whole Foods household kind of now. But, you know, we occasionally have a sausage or a burger when we go out. It's nice when, even if the only option is like, you know, a Beyond or an Impossible, it's nice that there's an option now, something there. But at home, we're cooking lots of veggies and tofu and homemade seitan and stuff like that. But I will say about these products, it's so cool to have these available for people who are really just trying to figure it out and are trying to not eat animal products. So it's awesome.
And
there's
in Target.
It's in Target. And there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of it. I mean, vegan aiolis, vegan spreads, hummuses,
popcorn.
There's like
a dill flavored popcorn, garlic,
a sweet and salty.
Sweet and salty.
A lot of garlic flavored everything. There was that garlic aioli.
I support.
There's soups and there's a chili. There's ravioli, which to have a refrigerated ravioli. Yeah, there was like a wild mushroom, a pizza ravioli,
potato salad.
Yeah, so many things. A pasta salad.
Pasta salad, a couple of pasta
salads. So really, this is a great, and it said, I read something somewhere that said all of the options are $8 and under. So this is just a really fantastic option for people who are trying to go vegan.
Very thoughtful.
Very thoughtful. And there's people, so many people who really, my sister being one of them, want to go vegan and think about it all the time, but they get so overwhelmed at the aspect of having to cook everything, right? So this is a great way for people to try it out and not feel so much pressure or be overwhelmed by it.
Because you kind of have stuff that's ready to go. You can kind of grab it and throw it on a plate.
Grab and go. Congratulations, Lady Tabitha. Friend of the pod. You can go back and check out an episode she was on with her book, Feeding the Soul. Please do. And listen, we're on video now. So if you want to go check it out on YouTube, the episodes are now going to be on video. So that's exciting. I will say about these first few that we're about to release here as we're back again. There's video for the intros with me and David, but then the interviews again, just for these first few that we're putting out, there's not video for the interviews because we recorded them, you know, several months ago when we didn't
Before
really know.
Before we decided to give video
take on
a
this headache that is video. You guys are not seeing the meltdowns that I've had before we started.
It's all right. We're here.
Oh my goodness. This sweet one putting up with me and making sure we can hear ourselves and everything. And shout out to Chuck Carroll of the Exam Room podcast, actually.
Our sound guru.
Yes. Chuck Carroll was so sweet a couple weeks ago. And I text him. I said, hey, how do I get XYZ to happen? He's like, let's get on a FaceTime.
Was
and him and David.
It the day before Christmas.
It was the day before Christmas. Ridiculous. Yes. He was so sweet to help us out. So go listen to the Exam Room podcast if you haven't, hosted by Chuck Carroll. But today we're here talking about Bosch on a budget.
We got the Bosch boys.
We got the Bosch boys. Bosch boys. Very exciting. Bosch is a duo of British vegan chefs from Sheffield, consisting of Henry Firth and Ian Thesby. They rose to fame in 2016 with the launch of their YouTube channel and have gone on to host the ITV1 television program Living on the Veg, and they are authors of a number of books as well.
Living on the Veg.
Living on the Veg! Anyway.
Their self-titled vegan cookbook, Bosch, ranked 5th in the Sunday Times bestsellers chart in 2018 and is among the top 50 best-selling UK cookbooks of all time. That's pretty amazing.
That's amazing.
To list their cookbooks to date, we have this one that we talk about, Bosch on a Budget, Speedy Bosch, Bosch Healthy Vegan, Bosch How to Live Vegan, Bosch, and Bish Bash Bosch.
Bish Bash Bosch.
Which
Bish
is just
Bash
fun
Bosch.
To say. It's just
it's
fun
my
to say.
Favorite. Listen, Bish I Bash said Bosch. To them, you know, just this stupid American here when I have them on. It's in the interview here. You hear, but I was like, guys, what does Bosch mean? But they'll tell you. Listen to the interview. You
got to listen
more.
To the interview.
You might already
know.
As I'm saying that, you're like, Dustin, you don't know.
That's why.
And listen, they're as delightful and talented as they are handsome and darn good at cooking up some delicious bites that people all over the world love. From TV and YouTube to books, products, and recipes, I'm thrilled to welcome Henry Firth and Ian Thesby of Bosch to Keep On Cooking.
From the biggest plant-based video channel in the world, they have been described as the vegan Jamie Olivers, and they have the bites to back it up. It's the boys from Bosch TV, Henry Firth and Ian Thesby. Welcome to Keep On Cooking, fellas. Thank you for joining me today. How you doing?
Thanks so much for having us. Really well, thanks.
Yeah, good. Actually, we're both a little bit on the tired side because we just got off a plane and we're in Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago. I love it. So many fantastic places for you to check out when you're there. And thanks for taking the time then after a flight. I know how that is.
Oh, it's all good, man. Yeah. We've got that kind of weird energy when you're just you think you should be asleep, but it's light outside.
Yeah, you don't know what time it is or where you are.
It kind of feels quite jet set, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we'll dive right into your icebreaker. Obviously, y'all are talented with many skills, but what is a skill or hobby you would like to learn?
Oh, man, I'd love to be good at Aikido. It's like the martial art where there's actually no offense. It's only defense. That would
nice.
Be very cool. Lots of people just rolling around on the floor.
Oh, that is very good.
It's very kind of choreographed.
I thought when you said Aikido, I thought it'd be like speed IKEA furniture putting up.
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, where are we going with IKEA here?
Yeah.
Then it all makes sense now.
I'd like to start kickboxing.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, like genuinely. I think I watched a video of these dudes doing kickboxing. I thought it's just such a great thing to have in your locker. Mm. Not because you want to beat people up, but because the flexibility in your cardiovascular abilities. I think kickboxing is a really good thing to get into.
Also sporty. I did boxing once and I was not very good at it. I think I'd get a little better if I tried it. But for me, I've wanted to pick up the guitar for years. I have one. And every time I sit down, I sort of get really impatient with it. So I got to practice patience a little bit. And that's the skill. If I could get into another skill or hobby, that's what it would be, a guitar.
Become nice. Well, next time we're on, hopefully you'll play us a tune.
Ah, that gives me a little goal to reach there. That's great. We're going to dive right into your brand new book, Bosch on a Budget, Big Flavors, All Plants. This is the 6th book you've released as a duo. Is that right? The 6th one?
That is correct. Yeah, this is the 6th book, 5 cookbooks, 1 vegan manual called How to Live Vegan. And we are just in the process of putting pen to paper on a brand new book too. But we won't talk about that because Bosch on a Budget is the latest offering here in the States.
That's amazing. Congratulations. This book is following your international bestsellers, Bosch, Bish Bash Bosch, How to Live Vegan, Bosch, Healthy Vegan, and Speedy Bosch. So quite a list here to follow. And before we get into Bosch on a Budget, I was hoping you might give us both a brief glimpse into how you got into cooking and then how it transitioned into vegan cooking. So let's start with you, Henry, first. When did you get interested in cooking and when did it all start to unfold for you?
We'll be back after a quick break. Hey, Bar and Grill fans, it's Jim with Madhouse Bar Talk, where me and my co-hosts sit around and talk about the things going on around Madhouse Bar and Grill in Elyria, Ohio. The whole conversation is unscripted, uncensored, and unedited. anywhere where you stream podcasts, just remember, Madhouse Bar Talks, baby.
So I definitely started at a young age, thanks to my mum, actually. I remember her teaching me how to cook a veggie lasagna. Very kind of, very old school, very, I would say, 90s, noughties. So she got me cooking at a young age. And then Jamie Oliver, I was a big fan of his. I remember he taught me through his book, How to Cook a Curry. And yeah, always been a big fan of cooking. And I would say a self-taught home cook. Had a good cookbook collection. And Ian and I were living together, you know, it feels like a long time ago, maybe 8 years ago, 7 years ago. Excuse me, 7 years ago. And we were living together, cooking for each other, loving food. But, you know, we were eating all the meat. But then we watched this film, which you may have heard of, called Cowspiracy, realized the impact of animal agriculture on the planet, and just realized it was just better to go vegan. Mm. So I went vegan. Ian was already vegan, and realized that I could use that love of cooking to start filling what I saw as a gap in the market, which was there were no good recipes out there.
So cool.
Well, so that's how veganism started for you. And Ian, then you were already vegan. When did cooking start for you? And then when did you become vegan?
Okay, so yeah, I became vegan not much before Henry. It was about a month before. And my journey to veganism was, I did it for health reasons because I was drinking a bit too much booze, eating a bit too much unhealthy food and needed to make a positive lifestyle change. And veganism was just ticking loads of boxes. But you know, once you start with vegan for one reason, you learn about the others and you realize actually it's a fantastic thing to do. But to answer the question, Dustin, about my journey into cooking, I think honestly, my journey in cooking started when we started Bosch. And I think we started Bosch because there was nothing out there for us to eat because like we went vegan before it was cool 7 years ago. And yeah. When you walk into a supermarket in the UK back then and you'd get one sandwich and it would be like a dusty little hummus wrap right at the back of the fridge. So we needed to change that. So We started cooking vegan food that people actually wanted to eat.
Well, you certainly both have changed that. You've blessed us all with Bosch TV and so many other items. If everybody checks out their website, which we'll tell you how to get there, so many great things on there. What year did Bosch start then?
Oh, I can't quite remember. Ian, you know better than me.
I'm going to say 2016.
2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
2016. In fact, it was, we started filming the first batch of videos at the beginning of June in 2016. And we put our first video. No, it was May, actually. We started filming in May and put the first video out on June the 16th.
And there's a crazy story, right? So, you know, this was the time when video was popping off on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, there was this new style of food video, which was made popular by BuzzFeed and their Tasty channel. And we just thought to ourselves, well, you know what? We love to cook. We're good cooks, but also we know how to make videos, and we have this firm belief that there needs to be more vegan food out there in the world. So let's make a kind of vegan version of Tasty. We started filming, and I tell you, it was the hottest weekend of the year in London. And we had a few camera people, so many lights. I mean, we had proper movie style lights in a tiny flat in London. Hottest weekend of the year. And over 3 days, we shot 20 videos.
Oh my gosh.
Averaging about 18 hours a day. In fact, one day we did 27 hours, which doesn't make sense. But, you know, it was a long day, Dustin. That's what I'm saying.
I was going to say, in the theme of that day, it seems like it fits right in.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, yeah, we bashed out 20 videos and those 20 videos went wild on social media. That was the birth of Bosch. And from then we've just grown, kept making videos, kept making books. Now we make food products in supermarkets and we continue because this is absolutely our purpose.
Did you have your sights on this becoming the phenomenon that it has? Or were you just sort of thinking, I mean, it clearly seems like you were setting up the production from the beginning there, doing that much in one weekend. Were you thinking though you'd post those videos and sort of see what happens? Or were your wheels sort of turning to like make a plan for all of this as that was happening?
I think anyone who sets up a business has visions of grandeur and hopes that it will it will catch fire and hopes that it will do really, really well. So I think that we did plan for greatness, but we weren't arrogant enough to expect it. So we kind of had to work for the success that we've been lucky enough to achieve. And I think the reason why our videos got really popular is because we were doing them all the time. Like, we would release brand new video every single day, and we were releasing recipes that people, like I said before, actually want to cook.
Right.
So yeah, I think like those two things, hard work and good quality content, was definitely the main reason for us getting bigger.
And I'm sure you've mentioned this before, but for everyone listening and for myself, where does the title Bosch come from then?
So, right, there's two ways to look at it. First of all, over in the UK, we might use it as a phrase that means kind of done, quick, easy, simple, quick, bash, Bosch. It's quite a commonly used phrase. And it's also had a bit of a rebirth recently on TikTok. But also, it quite cleverly stands for Boys of Sheffield. And we're from Sheffield, which is a little city in the north of England. So it's got a dual purpose meaning.
Look at that. Oh, I love that. Great. And I learned something new there. Well, and I saw on the on your website, the products that you've been talking about that you developed, you've got all sorts of stuff. So you've got cake mixes, savory mixes for like falafels and burgers, those sorts of items. You've got ready-made meals. Is there a product you've created that you've developed that's your absolute favorite? It's just like something you developed that's mind-blowing that you wish everybody could have right now from that lineup. What sticks out for you?
Should we do one each?
Yeah. Yes, please.
What do you want to go for?
I'm going for Nooch, man. Nooch all day, every day. We want Nooch to be the third seasoning after salt and pepper. We think nutritional yeast, you know, it makes things cheesy. It makes them umami. You can use it to make a bechamel. You can use it, you know, to make something taste more meaty. And it's such a fantastic thing. I have to put Nooch on top of my pasta in place of Parmesan now, or I don't feel like I'm eating pasta.
So, absolutely. And don't you have a variation of Nooch on there too? There's not just one Nooch, you've got variations available.
That's right. Yeah, we have a load of different Nooches because, you know, you've got to get that flavor. That's what we're all about. We're all about finding that flavor. We're basically perfumers.
Yes, perfumers of food. I love that. Yes. What's another one from Henry there?
So Henry mentioned Nooch, which is the savory, and I'm going to go for sweet, because previously to us releasing vegan cakes, it was quite difficult for vegans to get really good quality sweet treats. So we've got a line of cakes out. We've got the chocolate cake, carrot cake, vanilla cake, but my personal favorite and everybody's favorite is the lemon drizzle cake. And we've sold literally now millions of cakes over in the UK. It's crazy.
Wow. I love sweets, so I'm all into that. And the question I ask every guest for each of you, do you remember what your first vegan cookbook was? It might be the same one since you were in the same
place. Be the same one. It was recommended by our mate Adam Biddle, who is the guy who told us about Cowspiracy, and he had the book Isa Does It. Isa Chandra Moskowitz.
Yeah, well remembered.
That was the first book that we had in the flat we were living in together.
I love that book. It's one of my absolute favorite books. So many great recipes in there. That's absolutely a good one. Great one for people to start with too, because it's a big book. There's a big variations, lots of variations in it. So great places to go with that. What a good one. Well, let's get into the book, Bosch on a Budget, the sixth in the Bosch series. That's a lot in a short time, fellas. The first one came out in 2018. Is that right?
The first one, Bosch, came out in 2018. And since then it's kind of a stalwart in many vegan cookbook collections now in the UK. It's really popular, isn't it?
It's the first book that people get recommended or get bought. Often they'll buy five copies of Bosch and then give it to all their friends at Christmas. It's the kind of, oh, so you're thinking of trying out vegan, are you?
Yeah.
I'll buy a copy of Bosch then. Mm. That's the cookbook. That's what I think made Bosch so popular and helped us sell. You know, we've now sold 1 million books.
Yes. Oh, I love hearing that. That's very happy about. Fantastic. And working on another, so impressive. So it just keeps rolling along. More from Bosch. Everybody wants it. And a lot of people are trying to stick within a budget, making this book a no-brainer as a great addition to your literary lineup for sure. You hit the nail on the head from the jump, having the conversation about creating your own staples and how cost-effective that is, from stocks and tofus to pastas and curry paste. You're also very thoughtful in discussing cooking in season as a budget-friendly approach, seasonal fruits and veggies recipes taste better and cost less, of course. You even give a quick reference list to seasonal produce in there. What's up for each of you, a favorite seasonal item that you love to cook with?
A favorite seasonal item? I suppose it depends on the season. I always remember going to my grandfather was a farmer, and at the back end of summer, I seem to remember him picking new potatoes, and they were really, really delicious. So like potatoes when they're fresh out of the ground at the right time of the year are absolutely delicious. They've got this really buttery texture, and they're really soft, and the flavor is really more potato-y than usual. So yeah, like that. Yeah,
I would absolutely be all about the berries, man. Like when you're in the depths of winter, and you pick up those sad packs of strawberries, and they just don't have that flavor. Maybe they've been frozen or flown in from somewhere else. Hopefully not. Sure. But they just don't have that flavor. Whereas in the kind of heat of summer, you just get the most incredible flavor, the juiciness, the sweetness, the color. Oh, wonderful.
Potatoes and berries, my favorite things. We can hang out and eat. You offer budget cooking hacks in the beginning, from elevating leftovers to create new meals or making two meals at the same time out of one ingredient, making onions the start of a meal because they're so inexpensive. I love this tip. Of course, shopping in bulk when you can and putting every vegetable to use, not letting the sad looking vegetables in the back of the fridge go to waste. You have a great example of this with Ian's fridge raid pesto, sort of picking mixed herbs or vegetables and a handful of nuts or toasted bread to make it with. Have you had a combination from the fridge raid for pesto in particular that has just been out of this world that sticks in your mind though?
Do you know what? Pesto is a funny one because I tend to drizzle it over more or less everything.
Yes.
You just get your pesto and you've got it in your jar that you've made a big batch of it. And then say if you need to loosen it, just whack a little bit more olive oil over it. And you can spread it over something that's got, like, for instance, an orzo pasta dish or a regular pasta dish. Or you could spread it over a sandwich. In fact, I made a vegan chicken pesto sandwich not so long ago, and that was absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pesto goes a long way, especially if you're eating stuff that's got, like, an Italian hint.
And if you're thinking about combining the herbs, you know, we'd kind of – obviously, basil is the classic, but a little bit of parsley is always good thrown in there. You know what? You can even get away – with a little bit of coriander. You don't want to overdo it.
Cilantro.
Which is cilantro over here, of course. Thank you for that, Ian. and yeah, if you're feeling a little bit out there, I am always up for a little bit of, just a little hint of fresh green chili chopped up in your pesto. A little bit wacky, but trust me, it works.
No, that sounds so good. I'm already hungry. We haven't even gotten to like the depth of these recipes yet. So that's already great right off the bat. You have a rundown of pantry essentials and also menu ideas with your budget banquet section in here. And I've cooked a bit from here and I've been pleasantly surprised at the accessibility of the ingredients, which also turns it on the budget side for me. Speaking of ingredients, of course, let's get into these recipes. Our first chapter is breakfast and brunch. Everybody loves brunch. We have great items in here like apple crumble granola, homemade crumpets with various toppings, and a nice selection of overnight oats. Henry, what's your favorite combination of overnight oats in here?
Oh, man. Well, you know, with overnight oats, you know, everybody likes to play around. You can really use whatever you've got in the fridge. Again, it's another one of those fridge raid recipes. But as I said to you before, I'm all about the berries, man. I love that kind of slightly sweet, acidic flavor of those berries cutting through that lovely rounded flavor of the oats. So for me, I would always go for some strawberries, some frozen berries, and brought out with a little bit of maple syrup. That would work for me. You know what? If you're into peanut butter, which I personally am, you can add a bit of peanut butter alongside your berries. And then hey presto, you've got PBJ overnight oats.
Yes, so good. And I'm guessing, you know, you're sticking with berries, but Ian, I'm going to guess you're not going to put potatoes in your overnight oats. So what's a favorite combination for overnight oats for you?
Do you know what? Overnight oats, I mean, like, I like the berries one that Henry said too, but I think that out of the one that we've got in the book, it has to be the super carrot cake. It's got banana in there. It's got a bit of turmeric for color, walnuts, which are super duper healthy. And yeah, obviously some carrot too. So I think that is a really, really nice combination. kind of tastes quite naughty.
Now, I've made this. I have made the hash brown breakfast pizza from here. A hash brown crust topped with cherry tomatoes, thyme, mushrooms, garlic, and spinach, drizzled with some ketchup. I put a little sriracha on mine because I like a little bit of heat. I'm a fan of anything with a potato base. We have that in common. Now, whose idea was this pizza?
Oh, man, I don't think either of us can take credit for it. I think we came up with it together. We're often about simple recipes, but we do like to go a little bit epic and flamboyant from time to time as well, as do you, I'm sure.
Yes.
as we know. And it just seemed to us that, you know, pizza and breakfast belongs together. Mm-hmm. So what do you make the base of the pizza out of? Well, probably not pizza, because it's breakfast. So hash brown, potato just made sense. It's kind of crazy. It's definitely quite messy once you start eating it, as maybe you found out, but it's absolutely gorgeous. And it's a fun centerpiece for when you really, really want to impress.
Yeah, super fun. And like you're saying, I don't think it was too messy. I just realized right away, I'm like, well, it's not a handheld pizza. I'm going to eat this with a fork.
Yes, you need a knife and fork for this one.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that it's epic. When I was writing my first epic, like this recipe, when I was looking at it, I have like a brunch pizza in there, but then it doesn't have a hash brown crust. And I was thinking, well, what was I thinking? This is the perfect idea. This is what that should have been.
We got all your epicness. We took all the inspiration from you, but even more epic.
The epicness never stops, I tell you. I've also made these Pulp Fiction blueberry pancakes. They have a base of self-rising flour, giving them a nice air and fluffiness to them. I'm not sure I'll ever make pancakes another way now. And brunch is always a crowd pleaser. So what's an item from each of you that you would suggest from this chapter for someone having guests over for brunch that is sure to wow them?
Do you know what? I mean, so do you know what eggy bread is?
I do not.
So eggy bread is a Yorkshire way of saying French toast.
Okay.
And in this book, we have got a French toast recipe. It's quick, it's easy. It uses up stale bread really, really nicely.
Perfect.
And I've tried a few various recipes for French toast that I've seen online for vegans, and none of them really floated the boat. So we attacked that recipe and wanted to make something really, really good. And it's fantastic because you get a nice crunch. The bread tastes really beautiful, and it goes well with loads of things, but we decided to pair it with cinnamon apples. Oh, so good.
And I would absolutely go for, I hope you don't mind, Ian, I'm going for Ian's shakshuka. Shakshuka. If you have a look, you will see it's on the cover of the book. And it's on the cover because we've made these absolutely crazy little vegan eggs. Obviously, a shakshuka, you've got that wonderful tomato base, all of that paprika flavor in there. But traditionally, it would be made with eggs on top. We obviously don't eat eggs. So we've made eggs out of dairy-free yogurt for the kind of egg white with just a hint of lemon. And then an egg yolk where we blend up a yellow pepper to get that color. Plant-based mayo is giving you the kind of fattiness as well. And so you've basically got a vegan egg. And often vegan eggs, you know, they might be made from something like coconut or something that is completely un-eggy and doesn't necessarily go with the dish. But this one actually tastes incredible on top of the shakshuka, as well as looking impressive.
That is clever. Not only looks impressive, it sounds impressive. Sounds delicious. And, you know, breakfast and brunch, everybody can get into. And that French toast there, I'm telling you, you're right. A lot of people, that's been a struggle for me even. And I have not taken the time. I've done a couple of French toast like casseroles that I've loved, but I've not taken the time to perfect my French toast. But thankfully, I don't have to because you guys did it for me. We're moving on to soups, salads, and light meals. That's your next chapter. And I'll love me some soup. And in line with the budget-friendly seasonal produce, you guide us with a spring soup, a summer soup, a fall soup, and a winter soup. A fantastic touch in here. You give us the variation of using one ingredient for two meals, using canned tomatoes for tomato soup or tomato pasta. And there's a sweet potato salsa salad in here that I can't wait to give a whirl. But can you each highlight a recipe that excites you from this chapter, one of your favorites?
Do you know what? I think that there's the Bombay potato salad in this book in this particular section of the book is absolutely fantastic. Now, both Henry and I are really big fans of Indian flavors, and curry is a really big thing over in the UK. And we basically took the Bombay potato salad, which is cooked off with a whole bunch of spices like cumin seeds, coriander seeds, mustard seeds, and you sort of draw out the flavor from them, and you fry up your pre-cooked potatoes and then serve them with a really cooling cucumber writer, and what you're left with is just like the world's best potato salad. Absolutely delicious.
and on that topic of salad, you mentioned it before, sweet potato salad, that's absolutely one of my favorites, because you've got the kind of, you know, salsa is already very fresh and kind of, yeah, again, acidic, zippy, zingy, delicious, fragrant, and you combine that with the sweet potatoes and you've got something which is absolutely gorgeous. Wonderful dish, simple, easy, you must try it.
This is turning into an episode about potatoes, and I'm here for it. I love potatoes. So it is the perfect topic for me. What about this lockdown curry ramen? I love curry. I love ramen. Can one of you elaborate on that dish for me?
Yeah. So this was inspired by a dish that we love in a kind of ramen joint back home. And it's basically a ramen dish, but the ramen broth, traditionally I find ramen broths to be often quite a little bit plain, but this has got the addition of essentially just curry powder. It's kind of got that extra curry flavor within the soup, within the broth, and then you've got fresh vegetables, absolutely gorgeous. You can put literally anything in there, but we like to put in some cubes of tofu. And the spicy sauce that goes with this dish is so tasty that you can just make up a jar of it and keep it in your fridge. And we're using that Togarashi Shichimi spice mix, which can be hard to get hold of. It's Japanese. It's absolutely delicious. So many different flavors going on. So complex. Well worth trying.
Is there any sort of quick sub if someone can't find that Togarashi? Is there something maybe they can sub out instead of that?
Yeah, you could go for Chinese five spice instead of that. That would be okay. It's not going to be quite as good. So it's worth hunting down the Togarashi if you can. But yeah, by all means, five spice. Nice. Different spices, but it's another blend. It'll work.
That's great. Well, Food for Friends is the next chapter with Bangin' Bao Buns, Tempura Crudite, Crunchy Curried Kali Wings, the No FOMO Burger with Potato Burger Bun, Super Samosas, and Tofu Madras. I made the Madras featuring Henry's Curry Stock, which I'm a little obsessed with now. I love this chapter name, Food for Friends, because food is so much about community in the world of vegan food. We're always trying to impress our non-vegan friends. So what's a recipe for each of you that you would suggest from this chapter to impress someone's non-vegan friend?
Oh, wow. Well, there are so many. I love the fact you've mentioned the curry stock. I'm going to have to go with that because
it's so good.
I'm Henry. And, you know, these are obviously things I'm so proud of because I put my name on them.
Yes.
There are a couple of different curries in this chapter. So we've got a tempeh vindaloo. Love cooking with tempeh. It's got that wonderful nutty flavor. But we've also got a tofu madras. Now, both the madras and the vindaloo are typically really quite spicy curries. So if you are cooking these, be prepared. They are hot.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do is we make a curry stock, as you've talked about. And this curry stock is... it's the same way that if you were to go to an Indian restaurant in the UK, they would prepare you a curry in 10 minutes, whereas at home, it would take you an hour or even an hour and a half to get that same kind of curry. And what they do is they just have a separate batch, a giant pan of what is essentially a thick, spiced onion soup. It's blended up, it's thick and it's creamy, and that is the base of the curry. And then to make your curry in 10 minutes, they add the meat, or in our case, it would be the kind of vegan protein. They'll add some vegetables, a few spices, and the curry stock. So what we do for our curries is we get you to make your own curry stock separately, mix it with your curry, and you get the creamiest, most delicious, most delightful curry you can imagine. It's perfect.
I made it and thought it was delicious, but you just made it sound out of this world.
Good.
And that was Henry's there. So Ian, what's one from this chapter you would pick to impress someone's, if someone had to impress some non-vegan friends, what's an item you would pick from here?
I'm of the opinion that basically everybody likes pizza.
Yes. Okay.
Everybody likes pizza.
Absolutely.
And if you like pizza, there's a very strong chance that you'll like pide, which is basically a boat-shaped pizza that hails from Turkey. And in this book, we've got one we make out of chunky mushrooms. It's got really nice tomato-y filling, but we give it some aroma with harissa paste and a little bit of smokiness from smoked paprika, and then some good spices in the form of cumin. And then a bit of freshness with some parsley as well. But yeah, the way that we cook the mushrooms, it just sort of draws out all the moisture, enhances the meatiness, and it really, really, really gives you that wonderful mouthfeel and that texture that you miss when you miss meat, when you leave meat alone. So if anyone's coming to my house and they were still a meat eater and they wanted to be impressed by vegan food that is kind of meaty, I would give them the chunky mushroom Turkish pide.
Do you know the pide actually solves a problem?
Go on.
There is a flaw. There is a design flaw in pizza.
Yeah.
Which is where you pick up a slice of pizza and the bottom of the pizza flops down. And the topping falls onto the pizza box or whatever. And I know, you know, you can eat it and you can fold that up and squish it in or whatever. But the kind of boat shape of the pide means that doesn't happen. So yeah. give it a whirl.
Yeah, it's so good, honestly.
Amazing. Yeah, not just cookbook authors, but also problem solvers. See, there you go. Got a manual here.
There you go.
So good. So that's Food for Friends. That's that chapter. Lots of great options in there. And the next one is a chapter named Simply with One Word. I think it's a word we all love to see related to food. Simply comfort. And when I set forth writing cookbooks and with my show, my goal was always to show everyone that you can be vegan and still have burgers, pizza, and macaroni and cheese. But the comfort scope is so much more than that. Can you each tell me what is a comfort recipe that for you just had to be in this chapter when you wrote it? Something for comfort that rings true for you that you knew this chapter wouldn't be complete without?
So in every book, we like to include a roast dinner, because both of us are from Yorkshire, and a roast dinner is basically what you have every Sunday. So in previous books, we've done a mushroom Wellington. We've also done, what was it? Oh, yeah, we did another one, which was a Christmas crisscross, which was very, very delicious. Yeah. Which other ones have we done in previous books? Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about those. We're talking about this one. And this one, what we decided to do was a really thrifty roast dinner. And rather than make something that was pastry-based, or a big chunk of, say, I don't know, tofurkey, we decided to let vegetables sing. So we basically took a celeriac and basted it and roasted it and treated it with a load of respect and drawed out all of that wonderful sweetness, but added in a whole bunch of flavors in the form of Marmite, which is, vegetable yeast extract. And then obviously some fresh herbs like thyme as well. And then paired that celeriac with a bunch of roast potatoes, some carrots, some onions, and then cabbage. And like, some people don't like cabbage, but I think cabbage is delicious.
I do too. And I actually bought Marmite because of this book. So I have Marmite now in my pantry.
Oh, good on you. Good for you.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Get it on some toast.
Oh, I will. Sounds delicious.
I would go for Henry's Mushroom and Newt's Risotto. Got to pick the one with my name on it, haven't I?
There you go.
We've talked about Newt's already. It's that wonderful kind of cheesy sprinkle that we sell, by the way. Mm-hmm. But you can also, other people sell it too. It's fine. Go buy it wherever. Sprinkle it on top of pasta, or in this case, risotto. It makes a great Parmesan replacement. But this mushroom and Newt's risotto, we use the Newt's to give that umami to the dish, as well as to sprinkle over the top. And then we just kind of properly cook these mushrooms. We've got cooked mushrooms on top. We've got mushrooms folded throughout. Perfectly cooked, thick, starchy risotto. Gorgeous.
Oh, I love it. I love a risotto. And I have my eye on so many recipes in this comfort chapter. Not shocking. It's my kind of chapter. You've got the udon kimchi noodles, Jane's Spanish style stew, which Jane, of course, is Henry's mom, right?
That's right. Yes.
There we go. And the take a break bakes. Tell us about the take a break bakes.
There's a bakery in England called Greg's. You might not have it over here, but goodness me, it is ridiculously popular over there. And one of their biggest selling items is a steak bake. So we thought we'd veganize a steak bake. So that's essentially what that is. It's just a really nice, crispy, flaky, meaty pastry that goes well with steamed veg.
So a pastry with a filling then, right?
Yeah. That's essentially it. Imagine it's like a flat pie. In fact, you know what it's like? I know exactly what it's like. It's a savory Pop-Tart
Yes, yes, that's what it looks like too. Yeah, that's great. That's the perfect way to describe it. Well, I love, you've got the mushroom risotto in here, but you've also got a mushroom stroganoff, and that's always a win for me. I'm glad it's got some space in this chapter. And Ian's Indian style shepherd's pie, a brilliant take on the traditional shepherd's pie, spiced with chilies, turmeric, cilantro, coriander, cumin, fenugreek, and garam masala. We have a Thai, all the greens curry. I love a good comfort dish that gets the green in like this does, with some green beans, snow peas, broccoli, and kale. And you finish off the chapter with hummus pasta and a delicious cheeky chow mein. I love that title. And it's so simple to make. It's on my shopping list to make, actually, bursting with a wide variety of vegetables tossed with a simple sauce and noodles to make it extra comforting. And the next chapter, that takes us into, I have the biggest sweet tooth, you guys. So, of course, I love the chapter, the sweets. I have my eye on the crunchy honeycomb bars with homemade vegan honeycomb housed in a layer of chocolate. But if someone is just picking up this book and they want to make a sweet, both of you, please tell me, which is the sweet you would recommend for them to make first from this chapter?
Oh, my goodness. Well, there are a fair few options, but the one that springs to mind immediately is the frying pan Biscoff brownie. Now, it's basically a fry.
Tell us everything about this.
So you basically take a frying pan that's oven proof or a skillet, and then you cook the brownie inside the frying pan, and then you pull it out, and then you pop it on the table, and you give everyone a spoon, and then you give it, and you just basically just tuck in. But the best thing about this brownie is there's definitely a theme here running through this interview, and it's potatoes, because the base recipe for this brownie is steamed potatoes that you blitz, and the kind of texture when you steam a potato and then blitz it, you sort of activate the starch and you just get this really interesting mouthfeel, and it works perfectly in a sweet dessert like a brownie.
But of course we had to top it off with sweetness. So we've got the Biscoff, that speculoos,
yes,
wonderful biscuit spread, and also some candied hazelnuts on top, which go absolutely perfectly. So you've got this lovely kind of crispy sugared hazelnut topping. Oh my goodness, it's to die for.
Oh my goodness.
I got to tell you, the cool thing about vegan cooking for me is, and when I always loved cooking, but when I got into vegan cooking, I was so impressed with the way we can use vegetables and different items to create things. And this potato is like the perfect example of that. That blows my mind.
But we actually did a sweet potato brownie on our Facebook page, I think it was, about 4 years ago. So that's where some of the inspiration came from, that. Some of our
nice earliest work. So good. Well, so we have the Biscoff brownie. What's another one?
So I would absolutely recommend the apple tarte tatin. Now, a tarte tatin, which can be difficult to say, is a kind of staple pastry in French cooking. It's kind of an upside down tart, looks very pretty, and, you know, can be quite difficult to make. You would normally make your own pastry, but that's not how we roll at Bosch. You know, I think you call it maybe pie crust over here, or puff pastry.
Yes.
But we would, see, we can't be bothered to make this stuff. We're quick cooks. We're all about efficiency in the kitchen.
So
we create an apple tarte tatin. It's absolutely delicious. You get apples, you sugar them down, cook them down, make them nice and sweet, and then very simply cover them in a layer of pastry, turn it upside down, cook it on a pan. No. Jobs are good. And you get this gorgeous, flaky, sweet, beautiful tarte. Goes perfect with dairy-free ice cream.
Look at that. So easy, so delicious. An honorable mention goes to chocolate ganache pots, salted caramel, sticky toffee pudding, Bosch gingerbread people, lemon drizzle, tray cake, listeners, you heard me correctly, and Mississippi mud pie. All sounds so delicious and yummy. And you finish the book off with a chapter that makes budget-friendly cooking ideal, and that is staples. What's a staple from this book that each of you keep on hand on the regular?
I mean, look, for me, it would absolutely be the pesto that we talked about before.
Yes.
It's all about making your own pesto in my mind. And also, if you can be bothered, if you've got a bit of time on a Sunday, making your own pasta is a great thing to do as well. It's not that hard to do. People talk about it being really difficult to do with vegan, because traditionally you're going to use egg to hold the pasta together, but you really, really don't have to. It's perfectly possible to make gorgeous pasta yourself at home, even without expensive equipment. Mm.
So true. And it's actually really fun. It's really fun to make pasta.
It really is, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you know what I think is also really fun to make? And you need a decent blender for it. But I think making your own nut butters. We included a recipe for peanut butter, which is simply blanched peanuts and sea salt. All you need then is just like a decent sized blender that you blitz them all up in. But I tell you something, right? If you want to make a nut butter that's slightly more expensive than budget Bosch, but if you make pecan butter, it is like nothing else. It's the best nut butter going, pecan butter.
Well, and what I love about making your own nut butters is you know everything that's in there then. So everyone, you can be aware of the ingredients, everything that you're taking in. So that's always the plus side to that as well.
Yes.
Well, listeners, be sure to check out the recipes for foolproof focaccia, the variety of homemade stocks, the lockdown loaf of bread, homemade pasta, homemade tofu, and even homemade spreads like Nutella. And of course, as we mentioned, peanut butter. The Bosch boys have you covered from the pantry to the dinner table and all on a budget. That is Bosch on a budget. Big flavors, all plants from Ian and Henry of Bosch. Guys, before we get into your rapid fire round of questions, I would like to close this out with one last question, a book question. This is our book brag. So when you think of Bosch on a budget, what is something that you're most proud of about this book?
Do you know what I'm so proud of? It's just the batching. So batch cooking in this book, I feel like we really nailed it. We've got a number of batch recipes, and batching is such a good way to save money and to save time. You know, it seems really obvious. We're just doing four times the recipe or six times the recipe, but we've kind of got different recipes that weave into other recipes throughout the book, all helping you save time and money. So I'm really proud of that.
Yeah. I think I'm just proud generally of the concept of the book because we wrote it thinking that, you know, like after COVID, we wrote this book during COVID and we thought after COVID, there's likely going to be bad times afoot financially. So we kind of preempted this financial crisis we're going to find ourselves in. And we wrote the book for the people. And the response that we've had on social media to the book from people who are hard up has been really, really great. So yeah, I'm proud of the concept.
Oh, that's always great to hear. It's always great to get feedback when you put something out like that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, now we're going to dive into our Baker's Dozen rapid fire questions. You guys ready for this?
Yes. Yeah. How do you want us? Do you want us?
You can. I'll ask the question and then you can both answer. So we'll just go question by question. They're not that hard. You're going to be all right. I promise.
Okay. We've got to be really quick though, right?
Yeah. Here we go. Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Pancakes.
Favorite pasta shape?
Fusilli.
Spaghetti.
If you could be an animal, what would you be and why?
A lion, because they're just cool and they got big hair, which is great.
Yes.
House cat, because they basically run the world.
I mean, another form of lion, basically. Both great answers. Yeah. Do you collect anything, rescue animals excluded?
Oh, I would say maybe DJ equipment.
Yeah. I collect vintage Chelsea shirts.
Nice. If you could cook for a dead celebrity, who would it be?
Albert Einstein, because then I could ask him about his theories of relativity.
Very good.
Maybe not a dead celebrity, but I'd cook for my grandmother.
Lovely. Nice. Lovely. Favorite quick food item to make when you need a meal fast?
Quick kind of noodles, you know, like those ramen noodles that you get in the Asian supermarkets.
I would say the same, actually. I'd say exactly the same.
Mine might be a ready meal from Bosch. Hey,
barbecue
sauce or hot sauce?
Both together.
Oh, I'm going to go hot pepper sauce, you know.
There we go. Favorite flavor of non-dairy ice cream?
Something involving peanut butter and banana.
Mm.
Salted caramel.
Last show you binge watched?
I'm literally just finished Stranger Things. And there's a really weird thing about it, which is that I don't know if any of you have seen it. No spoilers, but there's a character in it called Henry and his sister's called Alice. And I'm called Henry and my sister's called Alice.
Whoa, well, that's a strange thing.
So it is a strange thing.
I was just trying to think about the most recent show that I've watched. And I think, to be honest, I'm just going to say football.
All right, there you go.
Football and have done since I was about 8 years old.
There you go. That works. You've been doing it all this time. What dish did each of you make last?
Oh, good question.
I most recently made gnocchi with a gorgeous puttanesca sauce.
I've just moved house, so I haven't cooked anything in about a couple of weeks. So I'm going to tell you the last thing that I ordered, and it was a falafel wrap, and it was delicious.
There you go. If you could pick up a new language instantly, what would it be?
Japanese or dog. I'd love it if I could speak dog. You know, we have a little dog, and I always wish I could speak to her.
The language of music.
There we go. All very good. I like to think I speak dog sometimes, though my dog is probably like, he thinks he speaks it, but he doesn't. Food on a skewer or a tiny spoon?
Oh, can I go for a big spoon? I
think absolutely.
Food eaten with a spoon is always the best food, and even better if it's in a bowl.
Very good.
I'm going to go skewer. I'll go skewer because I think olives are nicely eaten like that.
So just olives and a kebab.
Yeah, skewer. But also, I think like picking bits of food like individually is actually quite satisfying. I have been known to eat popcorn with chopsticks, and it's very satisfying indeed. And it improves your chopstick technique no end.
Improving your technique and also like slows you down a bit. I tend to shove popcorn in my mouth when I'm eating it. So this sounds like a good approach to it. You're almost done.
Either.
Donuts or cupcakes?
Donuts. Absolutely donuts.
Yeah, donuts all day.
There we go. And this is a bonus one. What's your favorite vegan restaurant you want to give a shout out to?
Oh, man. Well, we're in the States, so it seems too obvious to say Matthew Kenny, but his Double Zero.
I love Double Zero.
Absolutely wonderful. Yeah, their pizza is just to die for.
I'm going to fly the flag for the UK. I'm going to say Club Mexicana, which is in Kingly Court off Carnaby Street. Delicious Mexican food.
I'm putting that on my list. I just wrote it down, and that's it. You guys did it. That was your rapid fire. Good job.
That's so good.
We made it.
Phew. You made it. You made it through. Everyone, go get your copy of Bosch on a Budget, Big Flavors, All Plants, everywhere books are sold. And of course, check out Bosch TV on YouTube. And if you love Bosch on a Budget, don't forget, Henry and Ian have several other books you can add to your collection as well. Guys, please let everyone know where they can find you on social media and the internet.
Bosch.tv.
Super yes. Easy.
Bosch.tv everywhere.
Perfect. Make it simple. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat. I really appreciate it. This has been a delight to get to know you and go through the book.
Thank you too. It was an absolute delight. And it's amazing to see you've been cooking so many of those dishes.
Yeah, Dustin, man. Thank you very, very much. Really enjoyed this.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Keep On Cooking. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a review if you like the podcast. It helps a lot.
Yeah. And get more information on the podcast, Dustin's cookbooks, the Vegan Roadie series, and sign up for our newsletter at veganroadie.com.
And of course, follow us at The Vegan Roadie on all social media platforms. Now get in the kitchen and keep on cooking. And hey, remember, it's nice to be nice. This has been a Muzzy Cat production.